Hi, this is Vanessa Marshall. I play Hera on Star Wars Rebels.
Chris Sullivan, you may know me as Taserface.
This is Richard Horvitz. You may know me as Alpha 5 from Power Rangers. Zordon, the Power Rangers are in trouble.
And you're listening to the Fandom Podcast.
Welcome to the Fandom Podcast, episode 169. This is the show that brings together geeks and nerds from across the fandomverse to analyze the news and discuss your favorite TV, movies, comics, and books. This is the news roundup for the last week of May 2018. But first, joining us this week is the legendary anchorman, Nick English.
You stay classy, me.
All right, and with the FML update, he is Jeff Dumas.
Brandon.
No, don't even tell me. I'm terrible at this game.
Your picks were Brandon.
It's gonna be interesting.
All right, live from the Fandiverse, I am Brandon Ushio. All right, so if you
let's really hope Incredibles 2.
So if you were wondering like why is Jeff like just disappointed in Brandon, it's because we've been playing a little game this year called the Fandom Movie League. And we went out and picked movies, and we were going to take their box office score times their Rotten Tomato percentage and see what we could see and who got the highest score. I'm terrible at this game. So, stay till the very end. Jeff's got a really good thing where he mocks me every week.
He legitimately
does.
You. I mock last place.
Okay.
Fine.
That's true. The one week that Nick was in last place.
Nick was in last place?
I think Nick was in last place for 1 week.
Yeah, I think it was right before Infinity War because
you got the Rampage boost.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ready Player One and Rampage. And then Brandon, you're a lot behind.
You know what, Jeff? I feel so much better now that I realize that you're just mocking last place and you're not mocking me.
No, I was in last place until February. All of January, I was in last place. I had no movies, but I was in last place.
Oh, you know what? This actually has to do with our news, so why don't we jump into the news, sponsored by Not That Nick. Head over to patreon.com/fandompodcast to find out more. You know, I just kind of had to shorten the joke a little bit. So Nick, one of our patrons, he is not the Nick that's on the show. And so I just wanted to clarify, not that Nick. We don't go and pay ourselves. And
now, what was that you were saying about shortening the joke?
Yeah, my bad. All right, guys. So this week, we're going to try something a little different here. In the news segment, we have been doing four news stories, and that's been working out pretty good for us. But what we looked at it, we thought, you know, how else can we make this different and change a little bit? And we're going to take those four news stories and break them into four categories. We're going to have the big news, some under the radar, some news that's not being talked about a lot, a fuzzy puppy story, which is just a fandom story that just makes you happy because who doesn't love a fuzzy puppy? And then we're going to end this thing out with a wild card. And that's just any story that we're like, no, this is a good one that we should be talking about. So let's start out with the big news. So the big news this week is that Solo bombs or triumphs, depending on which headline writer you're looking at, and which
depending on your perspective.
Yeah, because, you know, I have seen on the news sites both, hey, Solo, a Star Wars story is off to a record-breaking start. And then another one saying, is Star Wars or Solo a Star Wars story? Star Wars' first bomb? And depending on how you look at it, yes, both of them.
So how is it record-breaking?
It is record-breaking because... So with the holiday weekend, they posted $14.1 million on Thursday evening previews domestically, which is a Memorial Day record.
Cool.
And the previous record was held by Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End. And so this one is Solo, a Star Wars story compared to other Memorial Day weekends started out so much stronger than everyone else had ever performed on that. I mean, it's hard because right now there are a lot of big blockbusters out. People are still going and seeing Avengers: Infinity War. There's Deadpool 2. 3. There's a movie
called Pacific Rim Uprising, which everyone should go see.
that movie left theaters a while ago. That movie turned tail with it. That movie left with its tail between its legs.
Oh man.
That movie
has not in the dollar. Is it in the dollar theater?
All I know is that when I update the box office thing, it hasn't changed in a while.
Oh.
And I don't think there are dollar theaters anymore.
There's one by my house.
Well, it's a $2 theater.
But there's one by my house.
One's by me closed. Who'd have thunk that the mall that had a cheap theater when the Megaplex moved in, who'd have thunk that that would have canceled, that would have died?
Well, the funny thing is Lena and I went to Subway the other day and we drove by the dollar theater. We're like, we haven't been to the dollar theater in a long time. And we're like, yeah, it's because we don't go to movies
as often.
Have standards
now.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when you get to go to a movie, you're going to go to a first run.
Or we plan it and then go to something really.
What I like is people can, even though it's out on DVD, people can still go see Marvel's Black Panther.
Is that still updating and changing and people still seeing it?
It is. It's still updating. I think maybe it's done because I can't see it. And all I know is that when I go to look at movies through my movie app, it still offers me tickets and I'm looking right now and I think it's done. But yeah, it updated this week. So maybe Disney can't have three movies in theaters.
So. Yeah, you know, and if they had owned Fox at this point, they'd have Deadpool out as well.
Yeah.
So
Deadpool's not doing terrible.
No, it's
doing really well.
Deadpool did pretty
like
well.
$200 million, right?
It didn't do as well as Deadpool 1 its opening weekend. But you know what? It's done pretty well. And I think that has something to do with this Star Wars. I mean, it's been 5 months since the last Star Wars story. And, you know, this is jokingly subtitled the one that nobody asked for.
And also, the last Star Wars movie was the most
controversial.
Critically reviewed.
It split a lot of people. And there's a good chance that there's some people who are like, no, that I didn't like Last Jedi. I'm done with Star Wars type deal. I don't know who those people are. I'm personally not one of those people, but
you know, I went out and saw this after class on Thursday night. And I did not think that I wanted to see this movie, but I was like, it's a Star Wars movie and I don't want to be spoiled because from what I hear, there's a big spoiler in it because I know people who
there's some cool stuff for sure.
Press screenings. And I was like, okay, I want to go see it. I don't want to get accidentally spoiled. So I went and saw it after class. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching it and I'm thinking to myself, this is a great story. I am enjoying the heck out of this. There are some scenes and we're not going to spoil anything here, but the introductory scenes with Han Solo, very much there were scenes that mimicked American Graffiti.
Yeah.
Which had Harrison Ford in it, which made me feel like they were trying to harken back to get our brains in the mindset of, okay, this is young Harrison Ford because they had that. And then holy cow, can Donald Glover do a Billy Dee Williams voice?
There was so many times that he was just doing the inflection and I was like, oh my gosh. Like I was like, you know, he was just doing the inflection of, you know, Lando. And I was just like, yes, it was awesome. Yeah. Lando was great. I wish there was more Lando. Actually, you know what? There's a right amount of Lando. The funny thing is like as I was watching the show, like it started talking about things that I was like, I never knew that I wanted to know about this, but now I do, and I'm glad I have more information.
There were like things about the Falcon. There were things about Lando. Yep. There were things about Solo.
Like all of the cartels
and spoilers.
Stuff like that. Like just so many, like, just, you know, just the other side of not the war. You know, we talk about like the underground in Last Jedi where we got to see the other side of the war. We kind of got to see this, the other side of the galaxy in this movie in a lot of ways. And it was not at all what I thought it would be. Like the movie did not follow any story or headcanon that I had in my brain. Which was cool.
Yeah, and I think that's very, very accurate. There were lots of things. There were ways that they introduced characters that I was like, oh my gosh, that was such a good introduction. Like every character that they introduced that I knew who they were, I was blown away by the introduction. So, you know.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good show.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. I don't feel like they tried to go in with the I feel like they went in understanding that this is a prequel, and if you put somebody's life in peril, then
yeah, it didn't have any of that.
Yeah, it didn't have that, but it was the pacing was perfect.
I agree.
Because every time there was an issue, anything that might have been an issue, we were off to the next thing, and I wasn't given enough time to think about it. I wasn't given enough time to think about Aldred Einrich not looking like a young Harrison Ford. I wasn't given enough time to look at any plot holes. It was just go, 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 great pacing, good action. But, you know, it was written by Lawrence Kasdan, and he also did, what was it, The Last Crusade?
That was a good show, too.
And so there was some good pacing. I mean, if you like the classic Indiana Jones, or he wrote Return of the Jedi, I believe, as well. I mean,
Ron Howard is a great director. So I think that, you know, those two things combined just made for
it was just a great
pleasing,
movie.
A pleasing show. Like, I mean, it's not my favorite Star Wars movie by any means, you know, and it's not like the greatest thing since sliced bread, but man, I was more entertained in that movie than some other things I've seen this year. So
it was definitely good in the last year and a half, I guess
I could say.
Sorry. So we're talking about how it's good, and we're talking about how, you know, because the news article said that, hey, Solo is off breaking records and having a great old start. But then the other article that we're going to have a link in the show notes to says why Solo could be the first Star Wars box office bomb.
Probably because while we were talking, it dropped 1% in tomatoes.
What? No. No.
Oh, jeez.
No. I am so bad at this game.
Earlier, it was at 71, and I went to look up something, and now it's at 70. And its audience score is 60.
Really?
So what I'm thinking is this might not appeal to non-Star Wars fans. I want someone who has never seen a Star Wars movie to go see this movie and give a review.
That would be really cool. I was just reading an article that said that
this is the movie that is good for people who are not interested in Star Wars. So that is an interesting take.
I am the one who hasn't seen it. So
yeah.
I have no
I can see why it would be okay standing alone. I mean, legitimately, like,
it was just a good story. You don't have to know any more about it. Yeah. Although there are some awesome Clone Wars references in it.
Yes.
And people who didn't watch Clone Wars won't get them till the very end, but then they'll get them and they'll be like, oh, that's that character. That's cool. So
yeah,
it's not the worst reviewed Star Wars movie.
Is Last Jedi the worst one?
No, Rotten Tomatoes, the worst one is Phantom Menace, followed by Clone Wars, followed by Revenge.
I just forgot
Sith.
About that one.
Solo,
I should have gone straight to the prequels. I mean, what am I doing here?
Rotten Tomatoes-wise, Solo falls between Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith.
Okay.
Do you want to take a guess about what
the best reviewed Star Wars movie is? Because I would say Revenge of the Clones is the worst, in my opinion. But
what do you guys think is the best reviewed Star Wars movie?
I'm going to say
Rotten
Empire.
Tomatoes-wise.
Yeah, I'd say Empire as well.
It is Empire. Followed by The Force Awakens, actually.
You know,
Force Awakens and New Hope tied. Never mind.
At the risk of getting close to spoilers on another movie, I feel like Infinity War could possibly be Empire, but it depends if the next movie is Jedi or not.
Yeah.
So I'm going to withhold judgment for there because I have the benefit of not
Avengers
being hung
Infinity
up.
War is not... His Rotten Tomatoes score is not as high as some of the other Avengers
right but
movies.
The Rotten Tomatoes didn't exist till after Empire.
Yeah, that's true.
And so we're looking
so these
back
are people
retrospect.
Going back and rating it on nostalgia too.
There were people who went to the Lord of the Rings, the first Lord of the Rings movie, and when it ended and it was just not, and the story wasn't finished, they're like, that's all they're gonna give us? It's like, really? You know, it's a book, you know, they're doing three movies. But and so I'm over thinking about things. I think my opinion on Infinity War will probably change after the next MCU or not MCU movie, but after the next Avengers installment.
Do you know what the worst Rotten Tomatoes MCU movie is?
Thor.
2.
Correct. And it's only 1% worse than The Incredible Hulk. Sorry for doing these tangents. I just can't participate in the Solo conversation.
No, you're good.
We're good. This is good.
So that's actually our time on Solo, unless you had something big you wanted to say next.
No, I'm good.
Okay, so that's our time on the big news. The next story is our under-the-radar story, and this one is something that I found, and I thought, huh, And so this story is that Netflix is finally paying attention to show ratings, according to some analysts, because they're canceling a whole ton of shows. So Netflix,
what?
So Netflix is canceling Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Everything
I know that makes me sad because I love that show, The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
I've seen like two episodes,
comedic
of that
gold,
show, and I am sad that it's canceled because even those like those two episodes didn't make me really want to watch it, but it was still hilarious.
Well, and I know that they canceled The Rundown because I watched that. That was Netflix original. It was a movie about the beginning of the rap movement in New York. And it was entertaining. I liked it.
So there was an industry source who doesn't work for Netflix, but they said, we're only talking if we can be anonymous on here. They said that they knew that Netflix shows that failed to attract 1 million U.S. viewers in the first 7 days of release were canceled. And so if the show did not attract a million
that's
US
kind of
viewers
a weird metric
in 7 days
for them to measure it on, I guess they, I mean, that when you want everything to be American Idol and you have that right, Fox, we've talked about that enough. I guess they can hold that highest standard.
So I don't know that this is still
1 million within 7 days.
Yeah, a million in seven days, which makes sense. But at the same time, I think that it is a little bit, I think we may still be looking at this through the lenses of old Hollywood when new Hollywood is taking this. I think Netflix has some kind of weird algorithm that they're like, okay, a show like this, people watch the first 47 episodes. So we're going to make 47 episodes of this, and then we're going to move on to the next thing. And so when you have a show like Everything Sucks, people are like, oh, people watch the first season of a show like this and then they're done, so we're just gonna make one
season. Sucks is,
yeah, I've never heard of that one either, so I mean that might explain.
Everything Sucks is actually, Nick, I think you would enjoy it. It's about a group of kids who are going to high school in the 90s, and so there are a bunch of 90s references, late 90s, early 2000s.
I have to watch that one.
Yeah,
especially now that I know that it's not going to keep going. That's when I was 16,
a town
so I was like
Boring,
legitimately.
Where high school misfits in the AV and drama clubs brave the ups and downs of teenage life in the VHS era.
So it's basically my life. Okay.
Yes, basically your life. It was really funny to watch them try to talk to a girl. We had to turn it off when we realized this was not something we wanted our 9-year-old watching with us, though. But my wife was laughing at a lot of the scenes.
It's rated
before.
TV 14, come on.
Oh, they talked about it was teenage boys talking about a girl. It was I mean,
locker room talk.
Yeah,
so a lot of misinformation
talk. Yeah, add that too. It was really funny. Yeah, so but I think Netflix
is
looking at it from
this
a
is pre-internet too, like I mean it's like right on the cusp of internet time too, so it's not like they could go on the internet and get a really misconceived idea of how women are. So yeah, that'd be interesting.
Yes.
All right. Well, and now that I know that it's done, that makes it even more nice to watch.
That's another thing. I hate watching shows that then just leave me hanging. I would much rather binge a show and be done with it than to have to remember to go back.
And there's so many shows that like the second season will come out and I'll be like, I don't remember. I don't remember what's going on in this show. And so if they don't have a recap, I'm screwed. And I'm just like, for like a while. I'm just like, I don't remember what's going on in this show.
So I just finished Stranger Things season 2.
Oh, yeah?
Finally.
Cool.
Yeah, because it's...
So you're the problem. Now it's going to get canceled. Thanks. Because you didn't watch it in the first 7 days.
Well, no. It goes back to that thing. Like, if I had been able to watch Stranger Things season 1 and then Stranger Things season 2... right back to back, I would have plowed through the entire thing, and I feel like season 2 might have been better than season 1. But because I had to get back to it, it was just like, there's so much to watch, I'm not going to get back to this right now because I'm watching this. Oh, now I'm watching this. Oh, now it's not Halloween time anymore, so I'm going to watch something else. And then now it's like, oh, you know what? I've been saying I'm going to watch this forever. I guess I better just go watch this. So, yeah.
There's so many times that like I watch a series and I was like, oh, I'm totally going to watch this again. No, I don't.
Yeah,
because I loved it, and I'm like, this is great. I want to go back and watch all of the subtle things and blah blah blah. And then it's like, I don't have time to do that. I'm going to watch Doctor Who.
Again.
You know, like, it's like I might as well stay with something safe. I don't know. Not really safe, but just something that it's like, it's okay to have in the background.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, okay, I want to, if I want something on the background, that's one thing. But if it's a story that I have to watch, it's a story that I have to watch. When does that start? Oh, May 29th. Speaking of Doctor Who in the background, on May 29th, Twitch is going to be doing a live stream of classic Doctor Who episodes. So Nick,
yeah,
you
so they did
this
with Bob
script, right?
Ross. They did this with Bob Ross, like The Joy of Painting. There's another series that
they did it
with
Sesame
this
Street
with,
too.
Power Rangers.
Oh, Power Rangers. That's the other one. Yeah, they just streamed the entire run of it. You know, so it's not like it's on demand or anything. It's just streaming.
Yeah. Oh, they did it with cool. Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood on his birthday. They streamed a bunch of his classics, and it was really funny because I had it on my cubicle at work, and the one coworker walked in to talk to another one and be like, oh, they're doing this and it makes me so mad. And really, funnily enough, that was right when Mr. Rogers was singing the What Do You Do When You're Angry song. And so I was like, Blake, I think you need this. And I just turned up the volume.
Turn it up.
And he laughed, and then he's like, wait, why do you have that just ready on your computer to play? I was like, no, I didn't have it just ready. I was just watching it.
This is a trick that I do with my kids.
I'll have it
anytime
ready
they're
now.
Yelling at each other, I just play it on my phone for them.
Yeah, it was like that timing could not have been any better. So,
your life is a sitcom. That's awesome. Yeah. Just for that moment, at least.
Yep. For that moment, that was definitely sitcom worthy. Okay, so this goes completely contrary to the me saying there are so many good things out there that you have to watch. You don't have time for anything that's not good. So I just finished the first season of a series. It only got one season right now, and it was a terrible show, but I loved it. The Legends of the Monkey King, which is
I was tempted by that.
It's a Netflix original.
Yeah.
Which means it's the Australian Broadcasting Company created it, and then Netflix bought the rights to stream it. But it's kind of like did you ever watch the show Legend of the Seeker, which was based off Wizard's First Rule?
The second season just got weird.
Yes, it did.
That's why it teetered off. But the first season was awesome.
Yeah. So Legend of the Monkey King, it's terrible acting. The story's okay, but it's not great. It's fun to watch the martial arts fights. It's just kind of campy. There was another one, Atlantis. The BBC did one called Atlantis, I think. That was it had like
that one.
Mark Addy in it, and it had a character that was Pythagoras, who was the guy who did the Pythagorean theorem. Anyway, that was not Atlantis.
One of my favorite jokes in The Martian.
Yeah. Anyway, it was. It's a terrible show, but it was a lot of fun to watch, and it was good to have on in the background while I was working on making badges for Podcast Summit. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because that's the thing I do. But so people are saying Netflix is paying attention because they have a spike in canceled shows, and they're like, oh, they canceled shows because finally they realize they have to cancel these shows. They can't just keep making the shows. But I think it's probably more knowing Netflix, more algorithm based than that. How many subscribers can we drive? How many episodes can we get them to watch? How many, you know, things like that.
Huh. There's a few shows that I'm just tinkering through on Netflix. Just one episode here. And it's because I actually have to, like, I want to watch them and consume them as opposed to just having them on the background while I'm cutting potatoes for dinner, you know? And so it's slowed me down a lot. Like, so I end up turning on Pokemon or Yu-Gi-Oh or, you know, Doctor Who, like just stuff that it's like, yeah, I've seen this 1,000 times. It's okay. I'll just, you know, put it on the background. So, you know, we might be getting to a breaking point where because there's so much, it's going to slow down.
Because there's so much good TV, you're forced to watch crappy TV.
Or just TV that I'm comfortable with, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I could turn on a different show and be like, wait, what was going on? What was going on the whole time? Then rewind and rewind. I just don't want to do that.
All right. So Jeff, what crappy TV are you watching?
Don't worry about it.
Okay, fine. Nick and I our crappy TV souls to you.
I've been binge watching Yu-Gi-Oh! Arc 5.
It's funny. I just finished season 3 of Yu-Gi-Oh! I randomly turned it on. I was like, oh, I'll watch this. And then I got hooked again. But then at the end of season 3, I've watched like 150 episodes. And I was like, I'm going to wait for season 4. Like,
I think it just got put on Netflix.
Yeah. I've never seen season 4, I don't think. The show that I just started watching that I'm kind of, like, I don't know if I'm going to continue, but it's interesting. It's called Britannia, and it's on Amazon Prime. And they touted it as a kind of a Game of Thrones type show.
You know, Amazon Prime, they are trying so hard to get good quality there. Jeff Bezos even announced that he personally saved season 4 of The Expanse. I mean,
well, that's cool.
There's a lot of good stuff out there. So much that you can't watch it all.
Yeah, like I stopped watching iRobot, even though like I was very interested in that show. Like, it was great, it was mind bending, it was entertaining, but it was just like a show that I needed to watch to understand because there's so much stuff going on. And so I just stopped watching it, even though I really want to know what happened in it. I just kind of have to not do it. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah. And I'm watching Westworld because, you know.
Because I'm Naked Robots, why not?
I'm a glutton for punishment.
All right.
I don't love Westworld. Like, I'm fine with it, but it's not like, oh my gosh, like I'm not like chomping at the bit to find out what happens. Like, a lot of people are trying
I've heard that's a show that is better binged than week to week. Or no, vice versa. Maybe you would hate it binged.
It's better week to week.
Yeah, because you have time to think about things. Whereas when you
binge, and that's what I'm doing. Like, I'm not binging it. Like, but I'll do like 2 or 3 weeks in between. So I'm still thinking about stuff. I don't know. It just seems like the story is moving way too slowly, and maybe that's because I'm so used to binging. And I kind of felt that same way about Game of Thrones when I was going through it, and then I go back and like watch the season again, and I'm like, okay, now it makes sense. Like, they were actually like, there was a lot more foreshadowing in it, and I just didn't catch it. And it didn't make sense. So I don't know. Maybe that's what's happening with Westworld too, but I'm not interested enough to go back and rewatch Westworld. So I don't know.
Yeah. I don't have HBO.
It messes with your brain a lot. So
I like, have HBO kinda.
Yeah. Didn't you just add it to Hulu?
Yep. Cause it was like half off.
Cool.
For the few months. So like, why not?
There's some good stuff on HBO.
Yeah, and then I just kept watching Yu-Gi-Oh! So it's free this month. I don't feel wasted.
Like, I got HBO. Let's go watch Yu-Gi-Oh!
But he's learning pendulum summoning, and the fusion dimension is attacking the synchro and standard dimensions. How else are... Well, what's going to happen?
I'm sure that means something in the Yu-Gi-Oh! World, but...
Actually, it really doesn't. It means something for this one season.
All right. So I flipped the order that I had on the document for our fuzzy puppy story and our wild card story, because I feel like after this wild card story, we're going to need a fuzzy puppy story. So let's talk about our wild card. And this one, when I say let's, I mean Nick and Jeff, go ahead and talk about our wild card story, because this news story is actually something that I've got a conflict of interest with. It is, I will read the facts. I will let Nick and Jeff discuss what's going on.
Just the facts, sir.
Just the facts. Anything that I do say, take with a grain of salt, because I have a financial interest in FANEX, and I'm still figuring out stuff. But we report a lot of the good things about FANEX, and so I thought that we should probably report some of the negative news as well, just in the spirit of fairness. So anybody who hasn't been following this drama, at the last event in September, FANEX always has a bunch of authors there, and Shadow Mountain Publishing is the group that gets a bunch of authors there. They brought in Richard Paul Evans, which is he's probably best known for the Michael Vay series right now. And then they brought in another author named Shannon Hale, who is primarily a children's book writer, but, you know, Austinland and Princess Black, Princess Academy, you know, and so she is geared more towards the younger readers than even Richard Paul Evans is. She reported some issues of harassment where he would keep coming over and touching her shoulders and even giving her a kiss on the cheek at a time, where she says, she's like, I've never met this guy before and he keeps touching me and he kissed me. And so she took it to the showrunners, because she's been pretty involved with the show since the beginning. And she said, hey, there was this issue. You guys need to deal with it. And it didn't get dealt with the way that she feels like it should have gotten dealt with. Basically, she asked them to ban Richard Paul Evans from the event. And when they didn't ban him from the event, but he chose instead to not come back to the event, she said that she didn't know that she would feel safe bringing her and her daughters back to this event if they weren't willing to ban the author who was accused of this harassment. And Brian Brandenburg is he's a guy that is very logical. He was the chief marketing officer for FanX. And, sometimes he would do things off the cuff, and he sent her an email back basically telling her if she didn't feel safe, maybe she needed to sit this one out, and responding to her complaints about the way they were handling the sexual harassment allegations by saying, I've been concerned about the issues of Me Too since before it became trendy, because he has four daughters. At that point, she put out on Twitter a clip of the email saying that she should sit it out and that he saw Me Too as trendy. And Brian got mad and said, you need the entire context, and took a screenshot of the entire email, put that on Twitter. He forgot to redact her personal email address. And the screenshot didn't go down far enough to see the part where he called Me Too trendy. And so people started criticizing him for publicly doxing her with her personal email address. And then also, but he did manage to redact the paragraph.
Yeah. And covering up. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now, some inside knowledge that I do have that I feel like I can share. I have spent time working on his computer, and I have seen his email client, and the screenshot that I saw looked about, and I haven't asked him about this, and I've tried to keep myself out of this. I don't necessarily want to be part of this, but having seen that, it did look about the same size as what he has in his email client. So I feel like it was probably a screenshot gone wrong. But besides that, I have no inside knowledge. I have not asked them to confirm or deny anything. Anyway, there was a big back and forth on Twitter, and ultimately Brian is taking a leave of absence from FanX. He is no longer the chief marketing officer. He is no longer coming in to work with the groups. He is taking a leave of absence. And some people are okay with that and happy with that. Some people feel like that's not doing enough, because he actually has a baby due. He has a baby due on that date. That all this said, and this is the part where you take with a grain of salt. It's hard because I don't want to. So
you say whatever you feel you need to.
Whatever I feel I need to, but I also want to make sure that I'm wording it correctly, because anybody who's listened to the outtakes on this know that I can't always make words say what I want them to say.
Words hard.
Yes. That's why I host a podcast. But Dan Farr and Brian Brandenburg have done a lot of work, and I believe that Brian is a very, very much your stereotypical geek, where he started out as a computer geek. And so to him, he's going to lay out things that in his brain sound perfectly logical and not necessarily understand the emotional impact of some of the things that he had said. And I do know that he regrets what he said, whether it's because he quote unquote got caught, or because he realizes that he said the wrong thing. I don't know. I don't have any inside information about that. With my part said, I'm going to turn this over to Nick and Jeff now and let them go ahead and talk about what they think about this.
I don't know what else there is to say, really, besides the facts. But, I mean, everything's okay because David Tennant's coming to Comic-Con, so, you know, everything's fine now.
Yeah, that was the part that I was just like, yeah, well, they're still marketing, like, everything. Like, as I was watching this all unfold, I get it. I mean, it's really hard. I mean, there's so many things that I've said on this podcast that you guys, you know, razz me for, like, all the time. Like, pretty much every single episode that I open my mouth. And so, I mean, it is so hard in today's, you know, world to not have anything taken out of context, especially if you're not saying it vocally. You know, anybody can read a text, anybody can read an email and have it interpreted any way that they want. I can put an inflection on, you know, he ate grandma. You know, or
let's eat grandma. And,
let's eat grandma. Or, you know, he.
Let's eat, yeah. Comma, grandma.
Yeah. I mean, I can put it however I want. That, yeah, that was the example I was trying to do. I was like, that doesn't make sense. So, I mean, there's a great example, like, right there of just something that I was trying to convey, but it didn't. I've always not loved Brian at Comic-Con. But it's only mainly because it seems like he sucks the air out of any, like, excitement, because he wants his moment, you know, in the spotlight. And I don't know if that's true or not. I mean, it might just be that he's really excited to be there and he just wants to come out and announce it. But, you know, being somebody who has worked as an MC and who has done a lot of stuff, and I mean, I worked as a wedding DJ and stuff like that. And I understand the idea behind momentum and behind, like, keeping the crowd engaged. And maybe that's just something he just doesn't understand. And, you know, maybe being his analytical mind and not emotional, like Brandon was saying, like, that's just how he is. And, you know, that's fine. But I always was just so bothered by the fact that he'd come out, like, after they showed this amazing video, and then everyone was so hyped up, and he'd walk out and be like, hey, guys. And everyone's like, go away. We want to see, you know, whomever. Like, why are you stealing the spotlight now when, you know, the spotlight shouldn't be on you? And, you know, he deserves all of the recognition that he deserves because he's done great things. He put up a lot of money, and he is instrumental in making it so that I can see this said person that I, you know, paid my money to go see. But at the same time, it just always irked me, just for that reason. But that's not enough of a reason for me to be like, I don't ever, you know, like, I wish ill on this man in any way, shape, or form, or that the fact that he did, you know, may or may not have said, you know, something. I mean, he did say it, but, you know, the contents in which he was, you know, putting it out there was taken one way or the other. But yeah, I mean, it's so hard to do things. Like, I mean, it's just hard to be like, he is now a celebrity in Utah, like 100%. Like, he is as much of a celebrity, I believe, as any news anchor, as, you know, anyone, like, Utah celebrities can be, like Therm. I don't know, Therm wise. Like, I don't know if there's, yeah. I don't know if they're like what a Utah celebrity is, but, like, his name is now just as known as, like, so many people in Utah. Like, you can say Brian Brandenburg, Dan Farr, and people are like, oh, the Comic Con guys, because it's a huge deal. I mean, it's
the FanX Salt Lake Comic, Salt Lake's Comic Convention guys.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, with that, you need to have a PR guy. Like, yeah, I mean, and I think that was, yeah, sadly,
I do know they have mistake, a PR guy. Like, I also know that Brian doesn't filter hardly anything through him. So,
yeah. See, that's his, you know, maybe that's his mistake. I don't know. I do like that he apologized. I mean, I felt like that it was the only move. Like, after everything just got blown out of proportion, I'm sure that it took a turn that they never expected it to take, right? Like, when it first got reported, they were like, oh my gosh, we made a mistake. And then it was like, okay, what do we do? And then once it just like it was just throw up vomit over everything. Like, I mean, you couldn't go on their on the Comic-Con webpage or their Facebook page or anything, and it wasn't just people just irate, like just mad.
Well, and it was mad. It like, was people mad both directions, and that
yeah,
and that caused issues. That they at first, I watched a lot of it on social media, and I watched once again take everything I'm saying with a grain of salt, but I watched them go from their moderating style from, hey, we're going to keep these civil discussions to, you know what, we're not going to delete people's comments because we feel like people are going to claim that we're censoring anybody who doesn't agree with us. Because I started seeing all sorts of things being said. And then the comments that I did start seeing deleted first were the ones that were actually supporting them, because they were men primarily. There were a few women, but primarily men saying it's not that big of a deal. Get over it. We're crucifying him in the media. It's not even that big of a deal. And okay.
And then it was like, oh, that's not the, probably not the people that we want representing.
Yes.
Us.
And so those were the first ones that they let a bunch of them stay for a long time because they weren't deleting anything. But these quote unquote supporters were actually making it worse for FanX. They were throwing gas on the fire. And
for the things that they were accusing Brandon of being, like just not understanding the Me Too movement, not, you know, being empathetic to this woman who felt, you know, and justifiably felt uncomfortable.
And anybody who's been to an HR sexual harassment training has seen sexual harassment isn't about intention. It's
all about perception.
Perception, exactly. And so
yeah.
if that's how she felt, that's how she felt. It doesn't matter if you meant to make her feel that way or not.
Yeah. And that's what's so hard. I mean, it's extremely hard to, you know, change. And I guess that's not the right word, but it's, I mean, you've got to be so careful about who and what and how you act around anyone and everyone in a workplace, and especially if you are as well known as someone like Brian, you know, and unfortunately, in one way or another, like, you know, it just got so bad. And even after like the first day, I was just like, it's sad, but his only, like the only thing he can do is step down. Like, I was like, it's gotten to the point where like he has basically divided everything that he's built, and it's sad and it was unintentional, but it was the reality. And so if he wanted to keep any sort of a semblance of FanX around, you know, and granted, like not everybody that goes to FanX is on Facebook, and that not everybody is on Facebook that's on Facebook is like basically who FanX is. Like it's not the way
it
is.
I will tell you though, I had a couple non-geeks come up to me and say, what's the deal with this? Because they know that I'm so involved. Well, I also had a client call me and say, what's the deal with this? We may have to have a conversation. And so
yeah. And it was reported in the news. Like it was reported in legitimate like newspapers and on
television,
you know, the 5 o'clock and 9 o'clock news. Like, I mean, this is a big enough deal that this is something that is going to be reported on this, you know? And so, I mean, do I feel like FanX is going to be better without Brandon in it? Or not Brandon, sorry. I feel like
FanX is better with Brandon in it.
I honestly, I mean, I don't want to put my foot in my mouth, but like, I feel like he would have always been better served behind the scenes. Like, I feel like Brian, like he does great things, but the one thing he's never been good at is being in the spotlight. Like, in my opinion, like I've just never felt like that was his forte. He's a computer guy. He likes to be behind, you know, scenes. He's a geek. Like, he's not a PR person. And so, unfortunately, like, it finally bit him in the butt. And, you know, I appreciate everything he's done. And I hope that he's still a part of it because he's done so much for it. And I hope, And I feel like there's things that he does and can do that will benefit FanX, but I'm not going to be sad when he doesn't come out and kill the momentum. Like, you know, like, I mean,
yeah.
And that's just me, but you know, I would never wish that on anyone.
Yeah.
Like, I'd never wish what was happening to him on anyone. And I would never wish anything on the woman either, the author that had a problem. Now, the one person that I do feel like kind of put his foot in his mouth is Richard Paul Evans, because even after he was confronted about it, he continually came off as an idiot.
He argued that he didn't harass her because he wasn't intending to. He said that she was pretty and that should help her sales. He then went on to say in the news interview that he feels that white men are being attacked like Jews were
like
in
the
Nazi
Jews
Germany.
In the Holocaust, yeah.
And that was taking it a little far. And so...
yeah.
That's right, because, you know, white men are being gathered in the streets and being killed in gas chambers. That's definitely exactly
the other,
what is happening.
The
right
other
now.
Part that just kind of makes
I mean,
this
poor
even...
white. When are white people going to catch a break? Honestly, I mean, jeez.
And, yeah.
See, Jeff, that's the one racial joke that you can make that I can't.
You could make it, but it won't sound like a joke.
That, yeah, that's true. That I, but you know, to put the cherry on the top of the sundae is that this guy has started a foundation.
Oh,
that
oh.
is quote unquote to I don't even remember what their like title is, but
it's called
a male
Tribe
only institution, Tribe of Kings with a Y. I've seen billboards
still
on
Kings
this
with a Y.
Yeah, I bet you the domain was taken for the other one.
And Did like their the logo is clearly just this like
it's very bro kind of logo.
Yeah, it's
you know what?
It's very
it's
very militaristic and
will
stuff.
We'll always
too.
Find issue with the logo. Like that will be that's I mean, I'm not saying Nick would agree with this thing one way or another, but Nick's
You're
thing
so
is like
true. It's the
you
first
cannot,
thing I go to.
Like that is the like, that's the nail in the
man,
coffin.
There were
like, you're a terrible organization
there,
and your logo looks terrible.
Well, but like the logo is just like perfect for like emulating what the like a perception of that he is this misogynistic like bro like we are amazing men are the best type like organization where we I
at some
know,
point
like,
in one of those interviews he said that the organization was to combat the feminist agenda or the extreme feminist agenda, and it's like okay. You know what?
Finally.
You know what?
Well, and it's funny, too, because I was just like...
I'm being sarcastic. I do not actually believe this.
With all this stuff, I went on the website. I was just like, okay, I am legitimately curious what this thing is, because there's a huge billboard on I-15 I passed by every single day on the way to work. And I was, and it doesn't have anything other than
the
huge Tribe of Kings with the website, with their big logo, and it's just like, what is that? Like, I thought it was a band or something. Like, you know.
That might be the domain that got... taken.
Yeah, like I had no idea what it was. I thought it was probably just like a metal band or something, like something weird, because the text and like the logo and everything kind of, I don't know, it just reminded me of that. But now that I see what it is, it's even more obvious, you know. But apparently like you have to pay monthly to be a part of it, and then like they meet in like different locations, and I was just like, this is so weird,
because
like,
you know it's so hard to find a group of other misogynist men in white men in a predominantly white area.
I don't know, it was just so weird. And you know, like their whole like mission statement was like, you know, we want a place where men can be men and we can, you know, feed off of each other. And I was like, so
this,
basically you just want to be able to talk about, you just want locker room talk, like a place to do locker room talk. I don't know, like it's just, I don't get it. Like,
yeah.
Anytime I hear the phrase locker room talk, I always think of the How I Met Your Mother episode when Marshall explains what locker room talk actually is.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of guys trying to get out of there with as little,
conversation as possible.
So the biggest thing that I saw with this, and the thing that I was the most shocked was Brian Brandenburg is getting a lot more heat for the comments that he made versus Richard Paul Evans with the actions that he took. And I
think what might be the problem is that one could argue, and I feel terrible saying this sentence, but Richard Parle Evans, all his actions are technically under allegedly, while Brian Brandenburg, we have.
And that's very possible.
I am in no way siding with Richard Parle Evans. I'm just saying that that is a possibility.
And that's possible.
Well, and I think that also really quickly, like even FanX just said, Richard Parle Evans is not coming to this, to our event anymore. Like that was one of the first things that came out. It was just he's gone. And so everyone was just like, okay, that's fine. And then when people were still, you know, trying to put somebody else's head on a pike or not trying to put them up on a pedestal, that's when the fuel just happened.
The impression that I got, you know, from all of the media, and like I said, no inside information on this, the impression that I got was that the FanX went to Richard Parle Evans and said, look, here are the allegations that we've had. We don't have anything to prove this, but you can either decide not to come back or we can ask you not to come back. And Richard Parle Evans decided not to come back. I don't know that that's how that went, but that's how, as I read press statements and things like that, that's what it felt. It was very much like, you know what, you might want to not come back. And why don't you decide that rather than letting us decide that? And so they caught flack for that. I don't know. This past week, I was listening to another podcast called Pod Save America, and they had former Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick on there, and he said something that really stirred with me. And this is a Democratic governor of a very Democratic area, and he's a black man, and he said that the woke need to make room for the awakening. And that was the only thing that I felt in this whole FanX debacle that I feel like I can say anything without any conflict of interest. There were genuinely people on there that did not understand, but there were good people who were saying things that were not being educated as to why it's an issue, because for some people they have no idea why it's an issue, and they were just being told they were terrible human beings rather than being told this is why we can't do these things. Because some people, that's genuinely all they need. Chris Evans said when he was asked why he hasn't been more vocal in the Me Too movement, he said, it's because it's not my time to talk. I need to sit back and listen and learn. And then maybe at some point I will have to talk tonight. But with the whole movement, that Me Too movement, that's what Chris Evans said. And I feel like that's what a lot of people with FanX had to do. But they didn't. They chose not to for one reason or another. But that was a very... Okay, so that's a very heavy story. That one, there's a lot of hard stuff that happened with it. A lot of...
Yeah, it's very hard.
A lot of friendships
around
that were damaged. A lot of people who were hurt in both directions. People who were trying to do good and failed, and people who were trying to do good and hurt people. I mean, I don't want to say there are many fine people on both sides, because you know what? If they're...
I was legitimately just thinking, Brandon, you're starting to sound like someone else.
I legitimately don't want to say that. Shannon Hale is right. Something needed to be done.
I agree, and I'm glad that something did happen, and I think that FanX is better because of it, not only because Brian is gone, but because now there are so many other people that are aware, and this has brought...
It's kind of like, setting a standard, saying Comic-Con's not going to... or FanX is not going
they
to...
They have a new universal harassment policy. They have new writers and contracts. They have new policies for employees to go through sexual harassment trainings. There are things. I believe there are now more women that work for FanX than there are men. I don't know an exact number, but there are a lot of women in the office.
I kind of felt inspired, you know, because everyone started coming out like saying, hey, this is something that happened to me. Or they said, I've never had anything happen to me. I don't know what's happening. But like people would come out and be like, you know what, I'm brave enough to say this is something that bothers me at FanX and something needs to be done. And so people's voices were heard. And, you know, I mean,
and somebody who's been behind the scenes, there have been many times where people had issues and word got back to the main office, and the main office kicked people out of the convention. The main office tried to do everything to take care of people. But
yeah, I've seen multiple cases where, you know, somebody was in a line and somebody did something and it got reported, and then that person was not there 10 minutes later.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, I can even attest that I was legitimately not doing anything. I was just standing in front of a line with my bag in front of me instead of behind me. And somebody came up and was like, you kind of look suspicious right now. And I was like, oh, yeah, I do. I'm really sorry. I was just trying to make my backpack not hit people, and I'm waiting for somebody right here. You know, and they had me open up with my bag and stuff. And I was just like, you know what? This is cool. Like, a lot of people would be like pissed off. Oh, I don't have a bomb. Like, I'm not blah, blah, blah. You know, I was sitting in front of Patrick Stewart's line waiting for Jeff to come around so I could get in line. I didn't have to get through everyone. Right. And so I was just standing in the line waiting for it to come back around so that I could just get in line with Jeff. So I didn't have to push people out of the way and make people feel awkward and stuff.
You wanted to make Jeff do that.
Well, no, like I just wait until the line came back around, and then I just got in line on the edge of the, you know, of where it comes back around.
Yeah. Anyway.
And so I was kind of standing in a place where there was kind of a bottleneck.
You were, and I was, from what I understand, you were actually in a very suspicious situation.
Yeah. And I was just kind of sitting there like waiting, and I had my backpack in front of me because like people kept hitting behind me because it was like a very high traffic situation. You know, like tons of people going by on that plane. And this was before they figured out, don't put the biggest celebrity right in the corner where everyone walks. You know, this is like the second one, or
it was the first,
yeah, first FanX second convention.
Yeah.
And I was just standing there, you know, holding my bag, you know, so that people wouldn't run into it, so that like I could legitimately just kind of maneuver stuff, just kind of waiting. You know, I was probably there for like 5-10 minutes just sitting there. And I was like, yeah, I kind of look like a creeper that could be like not what I should be.
All right. But, all know, right. Well, let's,
at
move,
that
let's
time,
move on
I was
to
like,
some
this
happy
is cool.
story. Let's move on to some fluffy puppy story. So our fluffy puppy story this week is that the Marvel Cinematic Universe is inspiring a new wave of baby names. So according to Yahoo, babies born in 2017 had quite the Marvel flair, which, okay, so I'm jumping through this quote right here. So the big numbered Marvel named babies are that there were 5,833 babies named after Peter Parker. There were 355 Natashas born last year, and 128 babies named Pepper born last year. So, and,
oh, I know Peppers. I know a couple.
Those are,
I know some. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
Those are all names that you could be like, well, no, those names existed before, and that could be a thing. But there were people born in 2017, or people who had children born in 2017 that named their children Rocket, Quill, Drax, Nebula, and Hawkeye.
I hope those are the next starting lineup for like the Dallas Cowboys, because I want them to be, not that I want to discourage people from being nerds, but I want those people to be far away from comic books.
Comic books ruined my life.
I want them to not get the joke.
That would be Drax.
Their parents made turn.
That would be Drax.
He would just be invisible. Nobody would see him.
So there were no T'Challas or Shuris on 2017's list, but that's because the movie Black Panther didn't come out until 2018.
Oh, I was going to say, because these are probably all white people and they couldn't get away with that.
Oh no, I know white people with names that sound like T'Challa and Shuri. Not T'Challa and Shuri though. So if there's anything that I've learned about white people, it's that they will, if they love a culture, they will have no qualms using a name from that culture, whether it's African or geek. I'm not sure where T'Challa or Shuri fall into place.
Both.
But I'm interested to see the 2018 list and see how many T'Challas and Shuris make it out there.
I'm betting at least 100 Thanos.
I'm pretty sure it's only 50 of them. Thank you.
I will admit that I did suggest to Lena.
500.
I will admit that I did suggest to Lena that we should name our daughter Peggy, but she said no.
You know,
because she doesn't like the name Margaret, number one, and then there's also another Peggy that we know that we're kind of like, I don't really, you know. But there
obviously
was a brief moment that I was like, Lena, we should name her Peggy. That'd be cool and be after Peggy Carter. And she was like, no, I don't like the name Margaret. And then I started thinking about it too, and I was like, yeah, I don't know any other Peggys that I really like, so I'm not going to do that either.
So there were a bunch of Valkyries born. I was telling this list to my wife, and she's like, "Why would people name their kids after comic book characters?" And I stopped and I turned to her and I said, "Our second child was almost named Charles Xavier." And she's like, "Yeah, but I like that." "Oh, that's a comic book character, isn't it?"
Well, and isn't one,
and
isn't,
I don't understand
is
your
one
problem.
Of your sons named after a Buffy character?
He's not named after a Buffy character, but there is a Buffy character with the same name. Just saying.
Okay.
And his middle name is also the first name of the character who plays that Buffy character. But that wasn't on
really?
Purpose.
No,
that,
you know
that
what?
One's a family name.
You know what? I'm calling bullcrap on that.
So that yeah.
And it was like, well, this is the real reason, but we can just tell people that it's a family name too, so that's okay. It's kind of
hey, we've got similar. Like five generations back of that name in our family.
I know,
okay?
But still, you know, still.
So all right, so that is our fluffy puppy story. I think baby Marvel MCU fans, that's the best thing out there. So all right,
I'm
this
gonna
Saturday
name my next son Whiplash.
No, you won't.
Yeah, what? Not if Lena has anything to say about it.
Because no one in our family will.
Well,
I
every time somebody would ask me what Cobra's name was going to be, I would say Thor, Norse god of thunder, English. And they'd be like, "Seriously?" I'm like, "Yes."
Oh, I got a lot of. Are they really naming their child Weasley?
Yes, we are. Because that was his name before he was born.
That was his womb.
We call it
that
an alien
his...
name because they look like aliens when they're in there. But oh, okay. That's the technical.
That sounds a lot better
the
than
womb name. Womb yeah. Name. Womb is hard to say. I just don't like saying that word. Not because it's weird. It's just a weird word to say.
All right. So, well, with that, come see us. We won't be in the womb.
Hey, no more womb talk.
No more womb talk. This is not the
see,
womb
it's
podcast.
It's hard. You said room. It's yeah, so, a hard word.
All right. So come see us this Saturday at the Utah Podcast Summit. That's June 2nd. We will be teaching you how to create or improve your podcast. Buy your tickets at utahpodcastsummit.com. We had some scheduling things happen, family events and such. We will not be able to go to Pop Culture Con on June 9th, but if you bought your tickets, it's still a great place to go. Get your picture taken by my sister. She's going to be handling the photography there. It should be a good event.
It kind of feels awkward to go on to that big thing from Comic-Con to, yeah, we're not actually attending this event. The two are no way related.
They are
whatsoever.
Not affiliated at all.
We're not going for our reasons, not PopCon. It's not
so now
Pop
that we've now that we've talked about harassment, we can talk about the sexy Ian Malcolm Funko Pop. This is all good.
I believe it's technically the wounded wow. Ian Malcolm Funko Pop.
Okay.
So you guys, don't ever say anything because it'll just get bite back. It'll just bite you in the butt
so,
forever.
Okay. So instead of sexy Ian Malcolm, it's the 552 Ian Malcolm Funko Pop.
We are giving that thing away Hunger Games style. And what that means is that for this Patreon giveaway, every dollar that you have ever pledged or donated to the show will get you an entry to win that. So longtime patrons, they have an extra chance. And if somebody wants to jump in at a super fan level right now, they can get some extra entries for that. So head over to patreon.com/fandompodcast to pledge, get your entries, get a chance to win this Funko Pop. All right. With that, I guess all that I have to say is until next time.
You stay classy, Fandomverse.
Hail Hydra.
May the fandom be with you.
Welcome to the Fandom Movie Leak Week 20 update. It is the week of May 27th, and here are the scores. With the release of Solo, A Star Wars Story, Brandon's adjusted total has been raised to $277 million, but it was not enough to bring him out of third place. With Avengers Infinity War still giving a strong performance, Nick's adjusted total is $697 million, which is just $150 million below first. Last but not least, with $847 million and first place, is me, thanks to Deadpool 2. I would have lost my lead without it. Nothing may be coming out this week, but the next two movies are both Brandon's. Maybe Ocean's 8 and Incredibles 2 will give him the extra $419 million he needs to get out of third place. To find out, you'll just have to tune in next week. Or, as always, if you want to follow along, you can go to fandompodcast.com/FML18.